You turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 3, actually. I wanted to go to 1 Corinthians 4, but I got stuck on 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we're going to... I thought I had finished that, but the Lord didn't let me go any further until we covered a very important truth here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I suppose we could title our message this morning, How do you gain God's wisdom? Longer title would be, it takes becoming a fool before you can become wise. It takes becoming a fool before you can become wise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we recognize that in the church at Corinth, they had divisions. So they had groups. And these groups were followers of men and identified with men. They were good men. But it showed a problem. And the Apostle Paul is dealing with that. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world, verse 19, is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain, they are empty. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Therefore, let no man glory in men. So we find that they had a problem. Their problem of glorying in men revealed a deficiency. That deficiency was they lacked true spiritual wisdom. You know, chapter 4 talks about the fact that everything we have was given to us by God. In verse 7 it says, for who maketh thee to differ from another, or what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? You know, the amazing thing is that nothing we have, everything we are and have really has been given to us by God. And the Corinthians had a problem. They were taking the natural and spiritual gifts given to men as a means of choosing which men they wanted to be their spiritual leaders. You know, let's put it down to how it goes. As a pastor, I often hear things like, how am I going to say this? It has both a positive and a negative. I hear things like, You know, I'm going to leave that false Baptist church because you know what? That Pastor Wayne Van Gelderen, he's a problem. And I hear things like, you know what? I think Pastor Wayne Van Gelderen, he's the greatest. That's where I want to go. And I hear people say, well, you know, I just like the way, you know, that pastor is. And another person will say, you know, I just got tired of that pastor. I got tired. Well, you know what? That's worldly wisdom. That's just plain worldly wisdom. That's how the world looks at things. You know, praise God, God gives different men different gifts. And they're able to use those gifts for the Lord. That's what makes them unique. Or that makes them who they are. But you know what? Everybody is who they are. That's the way it is. You know, long time ago, I realized that you can try to allow the Lord to work in your life to make you better, but don't ever try to be like somebody else. Because they are who they are because God made them. Now, so we have the problem here of people glorying in men reveals a spiritual deficiency. The spiritual deficiency is called a lack of spiritual wisdom. And now Paul tells us how we get that spiritual wisdom. So he says the problem, it says, he says, if let no man glory in men. There's the problem. He says, if any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. How do you become wise? The Bible has a very unpopular formula. It's called becoming a fool. Becoming a fool is the key, is the formula for gaining God's wisdom. How many people like being a fool? You know, Mrs. Ross works with these young people and tries to help them in their speech department and developing their abilities, and other teachers like Mrs. Raines, etc. But you know, it's a big thing to be let go of yourself. You know? And when you're playing a part in a play or whatever, you know, young people have to overcome this idea of, oh boy, what, you know, what do people think about me? You know, they have to let go. They have to let go. They have to stop thinking about what people think about them and how they might look. They have to let go. And they have to just let go themselves and play the part. And you know, when you let go and play the part, it's fun. But if you're thinking about what people think about yourself, you know, whatever you're doing, you never make it. You never make it. You never can do the job. It's not there. So we have this principle, and you know what the word fool is? It's the Greek word moron. Oh, that's a real popular word, isn't it? Right? Moron. Oh, now all of a sudden you get what I mean. I don't want to be a moron. Who wants to be a fool? But the Bible is telling us a very simple statement. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The wisdom of the world put Jesus on the cross. The wisdom of this world worshipped statues made by hands in the great Parthenon. The wisdom of this world is not how you know God. And it's not how you gain wisdom. How to become a fool. I tried to think of a text that would make this simple. How to become a fool. How to become a fool. I remember a friend of mine, Sid Staten. I don't know where Sid is anymore. But I met him early in my Christian life. And he was a generous man. He gave generously to the church I was in. He was just a working man, but he gave generously. And he was there for all the services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And his family was unsaved. And you know what his family said about Sid? Sid says, my family thinks I'm a fool. I'm a fool. Waste my money on God. Waste my time at church. My family thinks I'm a fool. Well, how to become a fool? We're going to turn to our text this morning, Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to try to show what it takes to become a fool. And at the same time, we're trying to show what are the results of becoming a fool. What are the results of becoming a fool? Well, the Bible says when you become a fool, then you become spiritually wise. And we'll talk about that as we go on. How to become a fool. Verse 5 of Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's telling us this is how you're supposed to think. This is how you're supposed to think. This is how church members are supposed to think. This is how Christians are supposed to think. This is how they think. All right? What was the mind of Christ Jesus? What did he think? It says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You see, he was God. He was God the Son. He was with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He's the eternal existent one. By him all things were made, and there was not anything made that was not made by him. He's the creator. So here's God, God the Son. And this is what he did. It says, he made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. What do you mean, reputation? That's what people think about you, isn't it? That's what people think about you. Here he was, creating the universe. They said, isn't this Joseph's son? No, it wasn't Joseph's son. But when they said, is not this Joseph's son? They accused Jesus of being born of fornication. What a slam. He did the miracles. This man doeth these miracles by the power of Beelzebub. Can you think of a greater slam than that? To call the Son of God of the devil? He's a glutton and a winebibber. Calling the Lord Jesus Christ a drunkard and a glutton. He hung on the cross. He said, he saved others, let him save himself. Save us and himself too. He made himself of no reputation. Humility. The Bible is saying, when you cross the line and are willing to make yourself of no reputation for Jesus Christ, now, and only then will you gain the wisdom of God. See, there's this barrier, isn't there? There's this barrier. I'm not going to be called a fool. I'm not going to be called one of them. I'm not going to identify with those holy rollers. Whatever you want to say. Reputation. Forgive me for not remembering the man's name, but he was a famous man. I can't remember his name. Maybe you can tell me afterwards. Takes place in the 1800s. I think. Early 19. Here's this man. He was a man in Britain. He was of royal birth. He was of nobility. He was wealthy. He was the upper echelon of society. He accepted Christ as born again. He was well known in his community. One day, he happens to be out on the corner with a couple girls from the Salvation Army. I'm not sure what they were doing. And you know, the Salvation Army still, in all parts of the world, go in a street corner. They play their instruments. And many times they will preach. In fact, happened in Kenya. Some of the best music I saw, heard the Kenyans play. And so, they're on the street corner. I'm not sure if this man was doing the preaching or what was happening. But these two little girls, I'll say young ladies, probably 10 or 12, they said to this man, you know, nobody's listening. No one's paying attention. We need to pray. Let's get on our knees right now and pray. On a street corner. That town was full of his acquaintances. Relatives. I mean, he's dignified. He's nobility. He's a part of the aristocratic class. Well-dressed, well-mannered. Kneeling on the street corner in public while people are walking by. Praying with a couple of little girls? Yeah. What will they think? It all ran through his mind. Put yourself in that position. He got on his knees and he prayed to God that God would change the hearts of the people, et cetera, et cetera. He knew as he was on his knees, he knew that many of his relatives were walking by and saw him. He got up from his knees, free. He got up from his knees, a free man. Because he had become a fool. He lost his reputation for Jesus Christ. He swallowed his pride. He humbled himself. He had now a new insight into life he would never, ever have had. If any man will become wise, let him become a fool. Jesus, the Son of God, made himself of no reputation. Isn't that the issue? So many of God's people are looking at life from man's wisdom. They are concerned about the applause of the world. And they look at life from the wisdom of the world standpoint, that wisdom that put Jesus on the cross. It says he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. A servant. Yeah, exactly. A servant. Isn't that the way life is today? Nobody wants to be a servant. Oh, a servant? No way! I don't want to be a servant. Jesus became a servant. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Yeah. That's being a fool, all right. That is being a fool. Becoming a servant. That is a fool for sure. You mean you're going to waste your life? You're going to waste your life serving God? Hey, don't waste your life serving God. You think you're anything more foolish than that? What are you, a moron? Waste your life serving God? Don't you have a lot of better things to do with your life than that? Take your talents, your youth, your abilities, your future. Throw it away to serve God. What are you, a fool? Being a servant. Wasted his life. Yeah, that's world that. Wasted his life. Died. I was just thinking, when I was unsaved, I thought, boy, what a waste. Have Jesus die. What a waste. You know, if you spend your life watching cowboy movies, and the hero always wins, and then you go to the Bible and say, Jesus died? It's not supposed to happen that way. What a waste. What does the world say? Take your riches and serve God with them? Take your time and serve God with it? Become a servant? Wow. You know what? There is a diametrical contrast between the thinking of the world and Jesus Christ. Matthew 20, verse 26, "But it shall not be so among you. What shall not be so among you?" It says, "Ye know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." I'm probably sure it's doulos. Said Thomas? Servant, doulos. Huh? Huh?
Diakonos.
Okay. A servant. You want to be a servant? Go do this. You know, my little granddaughter, mom has been doing a good job with her. Comes over and she says, Grandpa, can I get you something to drink? Grandpa, can I get you something to eat? Grandpa, can I take your plate now? Grandpa, are you done with that drink? Can I take your glass? A servant. In God's kingdom, that's greatness. That's greatness. In Jesus' kingdom, it's greatness. In the world's opinion, it's being a fool. Waste your time. You mean you go to that church? You go to that church? I heard that that guy preaches even after noon. You go to that church? You're a fool. Don't you have something better to do with your time than that? Sit in that church? Hear the Bible? What do you do in that place anyhow? What can you do all that time? A servant. That's a good question. How do you become wise? The Bible says you have to become a fool first. You have to become a fool first. And a fool is one who becomes a servant for God. You know, a couple of illustrations that are a good illustration of that. I think it was, I don't remember where it was, but I wish it was here, but I don't think it was. There's a Jordanian Arab Muslim that came to the Lord. And he searched out a church. Arab Christian church. And he said to the pastor, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And I want to serve the Lord. Of course, you have to understand the way things are in those countries. You can't trust anybody. That could be an easy way of lying and discovering all the Christians and seeing them all get dead, you know, killed, all that. Pastor says, really? He says, yeah, I want to serve the Lord. You have a job for me? Yep. Come with me. Took him downstairs to the church. He says, these are the toilets. Your job is to clean these toilets. That's your job. Your job. I want to serve the Lord. Yeah, here's your job. Clean the toilets. And I can kind of picture, can you kind of picture You know, a third world country sort of like how, what the toilets are like. You know what I mean? Not like America. You know, you can just picture it, can't you? I can. Stone building, you know, all of that. And I can picture it. I can't remember, but it was 1 or 2 years later. 1 or 2 years later. The pastor called him in and said, okay, I think you're ready for another job. After he had faithfully cleaned the toilets for 2 years, joyfully doing it for Jesus Christ. Jesus humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. I'm going to use my life for God. My youth, my abilities, my money, my time. Yep. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. You're a fool. It says, Philippians chapter 2, and he became, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death. This is the third ingredient of becoming a fool. Obedience. Obedience. To obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obey. Jesus said, if any man love me, he will keep my commandments. Obey. Obey. You're a fool. You're a fool. You don't obey that book. I can't think of a more foolish thing in all the world than to obey that book. Obey. Yeah, that's really being foolish. So many different areas where it's a fool to obey. It's a fool to obey. I was thinking about my friend Mike Mack. He owned a garage. He was a mechanic. He had his own garage business in Burlington. And you know, like any other business, a lot of cash flow and not much stuck. And he got saved was growing in the Lord. We had special meetings with Fred Mortz from Baptist World Mission. And Dr. Mortz was preaching. I didn't tell him what to preach. And he preached on tithing, giving 10% of your income to the Lord. And he gave an invitation. Mike Mack went forward. And he was also one of my best friends. And I was talking to, and Mike said, you know, Pastor, I said to myself, I can't tithe. I mean, we're barely making it. I don't know how I could ever do it. And he thought, I could never do that. Well, he heard the Bible. And I can almost imagine what was going through his mind. Made that decision. I'm sure the devil said, you're a fool. You couldn't make it before, and now you're going to give like that? How are you going to make it? And he said, you know what? Not only did I make it, but for the first time in my life, I was making money. For the first time in my life, I was making money. But I guarantee you, the devil said, you fool. You fool. You know, I remember that idea of obedience. Obeying God. Doing what is right, no matter what the cost. There's a man in our church with a family. And he says, you know, I'm going to follow the pastor. I'm going to be under pastoral authority. And throughout the years, I heard people say, that man's a fool. That man's a fool. He's a fool. Well, all of his kids turned out for God. All serving God. You know what? A fool. A fool. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says, if you're going to become wise, you have to become a fool. You know, I can think a couple times in my life when the devil said, you're a fool. I remember when I got saved. And I told my parents I wanted to be a preacher. I love my mom and dad, but they weren't saved. And my mom says, you're a fool. You're a fool. I know what she was saying. She's saying, yeah, you finished in the top of your class in high school, second out of 600. You have this tremendous opportunity to go into engineering. We put all this into you to make a ton of money in life and to be have an easy life. And you're going to give it up. You're a fool. He didn't say that. I mean, she just was being honest. She loved me. Most of you heard the story the day I went to a missionary conference. I didn't even know such a thing as a missionary conference. You know that? I was so Bible ignorant. I didn't even know there's such a thing. I went to a missionary conference at a church. Been saved about 6 months. And the preacher was a missionary. And he said, now if you want to tell God that you're available, that you're making your life available to Him, that anything He wants to do with your life, you're willing to obey Him. Well, that means be a missionary or whatever. If you're willing to give your life to be totally available to whatever God wants for you, well, I never heard that kind of talk before. He says, I want you to come forward and we'll pray. I have to admit, I didn't have enough courage to be the first one to go forward. A girl went first. We prayed. A few minutes later, I got in my car. On the way back to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And it was as if the devil was right there. He says, Ron, you are a fool. You are a fool. What a foolish thing you have done. You are a fool. Gave your life to God. Oh, is like it was yesterday. That was the greatest thing ever happened in my Christian life. Greatest thing ever happened in my Christian life. Because that's the day that Jesus really became my Lord. I received Him as my Lord, but that's the day He really became my Lord. The devil said, "You're a fool." You know, if you're here and you're not saved, that's just like it. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. And the devil in your old soul says, absolutely not. Turn from going my own way, turning from my own life, turning from the sins that I like, forget it. And being like one of them? No way. Never. But the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We're saved by faith, not by sight. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, from the outside. Oh, you mean live like that? Oh, that must be terrible. Oh, no. Not at all. Oh, not at all. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's what it means to be saved. Amen. But the world says, oh, that's a fool to live that way. He that will become wise, let him become a fool. Not a fool in God's sight, a fool in the sight of the world. A fool in the sight of the world. It's transforming. The Bible says, wherefore, in that text, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. That he is the Lord of lords and kings of kings. You mean that man who gave up his life, who died on the cross, who allowed wicked men to treat him with disrespect and cruelty and spit on him and mock him and give him the worst death possible? You mean that man? Every knee will bow? Yeah. So the Lord says, he that will humble himself shall be exalted. Except the corn and wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth much fruit. You see, isn't it amazing? The pathway is set before it clearly in the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You see, spiritual wisdom is found in experience with Jesus Christ. Spiritual wisdom is a result. It's a result of a transformation It's a result of the blessing of God. It's a result of becoming a fool for God. Will you let the world and its cry of fool, fool, fool keep you from coming to Jesus Christ, the only one who can give you eternal life? Wash away all your sins, make you a child of God, give you eternal life. Likewise, Christian, is the cry of the world, is the cry of the world keeping you from becoming wise in Christ? Do you hear the cry of the world? Oh, don't be a fool. The Lord Jesus set the example. Become a fool in humility. Become a fool in servanthood. Become a fool in obedience. And you will find, and only then will you find, the wisdom that only God can give to understand what life is really about, where joy really is, where freedom really is, where power really is. Let's bow in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you today as we recognize the struggle, struggle, struggle. We are human, oh so human. We are so conscious of ourselves. We are so conscious of our reputation. We are so conscious of what we have. We are so conscious and so fearful to let go of our life. We are so afraid to trust Thee. We are so afraid of what might happen if we would yield to Thee. We are so afraid to obey You. We don't want to give up control. Lord, deliver us. Lord, deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from this world that crucified the Savior. Deliver us from the lies of Satan and even friends who have a worldly worldview. Lord, give us grace today that we would be willing to be of no reputation for You. That we'd be willing, Lord, to become a servant for You. Waste our life and our goods just serving You. Give us grace, Lord, to obey because You said it. Give us the faith, Lord, to realize that is the turning point in many lives when they obey because You're God, not because they understand it. And so, Lord, work in our midst even today. Perhaps you're here today and the Lord's saying to you, you're a Christian. You have your whole life ahead of you. What about you? Will you say to God, here's my life. Lord, whatever you want for my life, whatever you want, whether it means to go to Africa, whatever it means, Lord, here's my life. I'm going to give my life to you for your will. Oh, that's a foolish thing. But maybe God's speaking to your heart about that today. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart about some other area of just obeying Him. You've been resisting. All the reasons why you shouldn't obey. How foolish it would be to obey God. Whatever that would be. Take your stand as a disciple of Christ by being baptized. And join a church that stands for something. Dedicate your talents, your abilities to serve the Lord. I don't know what it would be. Maybe there's your time. Your time. I'm going to invest my time. I mean, going to church, 2 hours, that's enough. Really? Your time. God is speaking to your heart. Say,